Welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Mommy Oyoyo is a platform for the modern African woman to talk about anything and everything related to motherhood in today's world. Join me, Berry Dakara, every week as we tackle the good, the bad, the ugly, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, and everything else in between. Mommy Oyoyo is your plug for real life gist and experiences about being a mother, African style. Hello, and welcome back to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Yay, break time is over. Oh, gosh. Yes, if you guys remember, I took the month of July 2020 off just so I could take a break and relax and reset, refresh, re-everything, reflect, all the re's. I took out that time to myself, and I hope you guys missed me because I missed you guys a lot. But yeah, welcome back, everybody. Yay, I'm so excited. Mommy, oh yo yo, mommy, oh yo yo, Berry, oh yo yo, Berry, oh yo yo, yay. Okay, let me stop being a child. Welcome to this episode. This is episode 45 of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. As usual, it's your girl, Berry Dakara. Let's see. Before we get into the episode for today, the discussion for today, I have a little bit of housekeeping. Number one. If you have listened to this podcast before, then I'm pretty sure that you've noticed that we have a new intro. Do you guys like it? Do you like it? Because I love it. I really, really do. I really like this new introduction, and I think I'm going to keep it going for a little bit of time. Let me know if you like it. Send a message to me on social media, or you can even leave a voice note, a voice message. And that brings me to point number two on the housekeeping list. Voice messages. I told you guys in episode 42, I gave you guys an assignment, and the assignment was to either write out or leave a voice message with an introduction of yourself, listing out your accomplishments as a career person or a mom or a wife or just, you know, whatever. Because in that episode, we briefly, very, very briefly touched on how us women, we don't really big up ourselves. We don't really hype ourselves. So I gave you guys an assignment to do exactly that. You can either send it by email or you can send it as a voice message, which somebody did, and I'm going to play it for you right now. You guys should listen to Busola as she left her voice message while I was out on vacation.
Hello, I am Dr. Busola Akinbote. I am a long-term care clinical pharmacist of 10 years where I optimize medication management for my patients. My supportive husband of 8 years and I have 3 children. After the birth of my firstborn 5 years ago at 27 weeks and 5 days with an emergency C-section, I started iYoga, where I delivered divinely inspired yoga services to women striving for balance in life. I continued teaching yoga through my next 2 pregnancies where I experienced successful VBACs. And early this year, I started my blog, Becoming Busola, to share my journey on the woman I am becoming, simply because God told me. I always remind myself that I am not the first and I won't be the last to give myself perspective in complex or difficult situations. I share my aha moments and lessons learned along the way to help one person better navigate her journey of becoming, with a focus on motherhood, wellness, and childhood. Thank you so much for this homework.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Thank you so much, Busola, for leaving that wonderful, wonderful introduction of yourself. Like, it was very succinct and straight to the point, and it really just listed who you are and everything that you've done. And you know what? I look forward to having you on the podcast eventually. So definitely hit me up. We're going to be talking. And for everyone who's listening, I hope you're able to do the same thing too, because we're in a day and age where I feel like we need to, you know, own our accomplishments and own our wins, own the things that we have done as human beings, and, you know, be able to speak confidently about the things that you have done, the things that you have achieved and accomplished. So thank you again, Busola, and everybody else You know what? If you want to have yours also played on the show at a later date, send your voice messages away. The link to do that is in the show notes and also on the website, which is www.mommyoyoyo.com. All right, so that was number two, was the voice messages. What else? What else? What else? I'm not sure that there's any much anything else really to talk about. Oh wait, no. Number three, Coco is back in daycare. Yes, I know that COVID is still, out there, and even here in Georgia, the numbers have been increasing. But her daycare opened up in June, and I was kind of monitoring how things were going. They didn't have a lot of kids coming back to the daycare as a whole. I think it was just less than 20 kids back in the entire daycare. And so I felt that I was a little bit comfortable with sending her back. I'm still keeping my eye on it, Cha. But yeah, Coco's back in daycare. She was happy the first couple of days because her best friend was back at the same time. But by day three, she's like, okay, mommy, I don't want to go to school. Mommy, do I have to go to school? I don't want to go to school. Oh my gosh. And I was looking at her like, that's your business. You're going. Mommy has to work. And speaking of work, I got a new job and I just started, well, last week. So I'm very excited about that too. So yeah, a lot of things happened, during my break that is very exciting. But yeah, I just want to, I thank God for this new job and for the opportunity to learn something new, learn a different part of the organization that I work for. So anyone who prayed for me to get a new job, thank you very much. Thank you very, very, very much. What else? I am doing well. I know there's a lot of outpouring of messages and well wishes regarding my impending divorce. I should make it clear that we are not divorced yet, but we are getting divorced. But I just want to say thanks to everybody who has been kind and gracious towards me, towards Coco's dad as well, and just praying for everybody, like all parties involved. Nobody's a bad person here. It's just, things just didn't work out, and I'm just, hoping and praying for the best for everybody. And I know that, all of our futures are going to be very, very bright. And I think that is pretty much it. Let's get into the episode for today. I spoke with Dr. Temi of the Omugwo Box about postpartum care, and I'm pretty sure you're going to enjoy this episode. I have had a previous episode on, I think, my Omugwo experience, and I just think it's really, really important for us to keep the conversation going. Just because you've had a baby doesn't mean that the care, and the support ends there. Postpartum care is very, very important, and it shouldn't just stop at, medical care. There's also emotional care and spiritual care and just all of these things. Yes, everyone's excited and happy, about the baby, but then what about the mom? The mom needs to be at her best so that she can give as much as she can to her new baby and to her family. So I think you're going to really enjoy this episode, this conversation that I had with Dr. Tammy. And just FYI, there is a giveaway at the end. Well, in the course of this episode, I will be giving away one Omugwo box package to a new mom. So listen to the end of the episode, and they will listen all the way to the end of the episode. Check out the blog post, not the blog post, check out the post on Instagram later on so that you can get the final details of the giveaway. And let's bring a smile to a new mom. And I think I've spoken quite a bit. It's 8 minutes already. Sorry about that. Actually, it's more than 8 minutes. About 9 minutes, but yeah, I hope you guys enjoy listening to this episode. Again, welcome back. I'm so glad to be back on the Mommy Oyo podcast, and it's gonna be a fun rest of the year in Jesus' name, amen. All right, enjoy. Hi, Tammy.
Hello.
How are you?
My dear, we do.
We're tired. Everybody's tired.
Oh, goodness. You already know the story with these kids, trying to put them down. You got them put down. I have my wine. I have my soon. So I'm relaxed. I'm ready.
Enjoying. Awesome. Well, welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Thank you. Everyone, I have Dr. Timmy in the building. She's going to be talking to us today. We're going to be talking about postpartum care and maternal health care and all of that good stuff. And it's kind of funny how we e-met. It's not like a week. Well, yeah. Barely a week ago.
Barely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're both on this Facebook group, New Generation Mom.
Yes.
And I think it was the Saturday post where it's like, share your small business. And I think I had shared that, oh, I have this podcast. And coincidentally, I had seen you mentioned your podcast on a previous Saturday, you know, small business Saturday mm-hmm. post, and I had followed already. And so you saw my post and you're like, was that what happened? No. You talked about the Omugwo box.
Yes. And then I saw that you had a podcast. And I was like,
what? Right. And mm-hmm. then reached out on Instagram mm-hmm. and you told me that you had a podcast. I was like, oh, what's it called? And then you told me what it was. I was like, but I already follow your podcast. So that's how we met barely a week ago. And she's cool, guys. She's cool. I like her a lot. I do. But yeah, Dr. Tammy, could you please introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you, what you do, your family, your side hustle, and all the good stuff they want to tell us.
Yeah, all the goods. Hi, everybody. All the mommy yo-yos. Hello. My name is Dr. Tammy Agbeshola Okere. It's funny. I have this thing on my work desk here that says wife, mom, boss, because that's literally my how I view myself in my life. But I am a wife. I'm a mother of two boys. Shout out to all the boy moms. I'm a whole lot of different stuff, y'all. I actually am a new director of a program. Actually, my career is actually geared towards maternal health, coincidentally. See how God works and just brings everything hey. Together, you know? And then as far as everything that I do, my business is actually Dr. Tammy LLC. And under it, I have my Omugwo box, which we'll talk about later. I have some online courses that are designed specifically for moms to find their purpose. I also have a podcast called The University of Real Life with Dr. Tammy. And so that's pretty much it as far as all my side stuff. And I'm also the founder of EAT Foundation. And
I was going to say, because I saw that on your website.
Yeah. I was just like, wait, there's something else. That sounded I have a lot of passion projects that I have, you know, just kind of put all of them under an LLC, you know, just to kind of centralize how I'm doing everything. I love my kids. I love everything that I do. I know it sounds like it's a lot, but I'm a busy bee. I don't like being idle at all. Like, I always need to be doing something. I mean, right now, my sister's looking at me. My boxes are actually stacked to the ceiling behind me. Like, this is my workspace. this is my office space, my play space, my relaxing space. But I definitely do well to just kind of keep myself busy and engage in things that I love to do. I am a proud Christian woman. I love me some Jesus. I do cuss, but I still love me some Jesus. you know, I get a little ratchet sometimes, but you know, as folks say, God knows my heart. He does. Because you know, folks always just like, wait a minute, you're a Christian, you drink. Listen, I have a glass of wine right now. God ain't never say that nobody can have no wine. I don't know why people do this. Like,
I mean, Jesus turned water to wine, so hey.
Hello, hello. And so me, I shouldn't partake. I beg, please, let me enjoy my life, Jerry. So that's me. That's me in a nutshell. Just all around, I'm just loving to, you know, the quote on my website is that the hallmark of everything that I've done, that I do and that I've ever done is to help people be the best version of themselves. And I pride myself on injecting that into every part of my life, whether it's in my 9-to-5 or if it's in all the side work that I do within my business. It's all my heart is in it. My heart is in everything that I do. And that's pretty much me.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that wonderful, wonderful introduction, Dr. Tim. Doctor, guys, this whole doctor something, sometimes it's just like, you, Barry, when are you going to be Dr. Barry? Come on, come on.
But don't worry.
I don't have energy to go back to school. I really just, not right now.
I'm telling you, it's not easy.
Right. Maybe one day we'll do it. But on your podcast, you have an episode where you cover the subject of postpartum care. Yes. You quoted Jabina Coleman, who said, and I agree, everybody wants to hold the baby. Who holds the mother?
Yes.
Guys, who holds the mother?
Nobody. And
I can say
that. Hold yourself.
Right, hold yourself. I can say that at least in Nigerian culture, maybe widespread across Africa, it's usually, you know, her mom or mother-in-law that comes to at least do some holding, like at least physical holding to help out with, you know, the postpartum care and to help out with the baby and everything. So it's more to help out with the baby, not so much for mom, but I guess they kind of go hand in hand. But can you give maybe an overview of postpartum care back home versus over here, like in the diaspora? And what were your experiences like after giving birth to your children, if you had your mom with you? And like, what help and resources did you have after you had your children?
Well, so, you know, everybody knows that at least when you're home, back home, I mean, I've gone back and forth. I've lived there only when I was little, but of course, you know, I would go and at least see things and experience a little bit. Moms of, you know, new moms are usually around. I mean, they will literally do. I have an aunt. I swear to everything. I don't even think she actually came here to have her last child, and my sister, who has a child, was the one helping to bathe the child and everything because she didn't know how to do anything.
Oh, wow.
Her first two children, she didn't do anything. She just put breasts in their mouth and go to sleep because the mom did everything. She cooked, she cleaned, she took care of the children, did everything. So there's a lot more hands-on, like seriously hands-on, because, you know, grandmas in Niger, they're not glamas like the ones we have here, where they're fixing hair, doing nails, all that stuff. They're young grandmas.
Oh, things are changing.
Really?
Things are changing.
You know what? You know what? We'll get into that because my mom is one of those, but I still respect that she definitely stepped her game up. But let me even go back. So the old school Niger, you know, like the grandmas, they know what they're there for. They're not play, they're taking care of their grandchildren, and they are taking care of their daughter. It's much more hands-on, and it's not the same here. I think when we think of postpartum care here, I swear, I feel like it's like null and void, because here we are expected to give birth and literally go back to work almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're home, if you have a job, most people, like we literally, with our first kid, when I say I planned that thing to DT, I knew how much vacation time I had. I knew how much short-term disability I'd be able to have so that financially we'd be able to balance everything while I was out of work. And for me, my first kid, both of my my in-laws were living with us, and bless them. Bless their hearts. However, I will not say, and this is no offense to her at all, I can't say that I had a true Omugwo experience because I married Igbo. So for them, they truly do Omugwo. Like Yoruba people do it too, but we don't call it that. But I mean, we do call it that, but it's pretty much the same concept, but we don't really have a name for it. But Igbo people, they have, it is their thing. Like it's, they come, you stay for a certain amount of time, they work. And then when they leave, you give them gifts to leave, all that stuff. But my mother and father-in-law came to stay with us for an extended period of time. A year and a half to be exact, because I counted that shit. I did.
Wow.
And let me just say, my mother-in-law is not, she wasn't as agile as maybe my mom was, because she's, you know, she was a little bit older, had a little bit more issues. So I didn't feel, it was good to have extra hands in the house, but I won't say that they were absolutely that helpful, because I had a C-section. It was my first kid. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't a perfect, I don't have a perfect birth story, but you know, it was kind of traumatizing a little bit because I went through a little bit before, like right before I gave birth. And it was hard because I still came home. I was still cooking. I was still cleaning. I was still, because like there wasn't much that they came and it wasn't like, oh, I expect, it was odd. Like I wasn't expecting that they were going to do much of anything. Like, you know, people would come over. I would get up. I would go and make them food and everything because they invited folks over. And it was like, it was a lot. And then I lost my uncle, my mom's baby brother. Like he was like a big brother to me. I lost him 6 weeks or so postpartum.
Oh, wow.
It was like, I was dealing with the stress of literally having to take care of everybody in my home. Also, I was still working on a doctor's degree. And then my uncle dies. And it was just like the world just, I didn't even know what was going on, you know, going on in the world. And it was a lot. So, and then the way the United States is set up, it's not set up for us to actually have good postpartum healing time, self-care time, to actually get yourself together mentally and physically. 12 weeks is nothing. Like when I had to go back to work, I cried on the first day I went back to work with my first kid, because I'm looking at him, he's this tiny little baby in the crib, and I go to work. So that was the first one. The second one now, totally different ball game. That one, I enjoyed that one well. It was planned out. My sister came for like a week and change. So I have three sisters, but two of them came. They came weeks apart. They spread out their time. My mom came and spent like a week and a half. She came. That woman cooked some more. She made some snacks and chin-chin. So that, and she said it straight up to my husband, like, listen. And I love when she talks to him because he listens to her. So listen, when people come here, don't come and be going into that fridge and be giving them a full plate of food. Don't have them come eat your soup and eat everything, and there's no more food for y'all in the house. It was like, yo, she made chin chin and little snacks. When people come, offer them snacks, offer them wine, offer them juice, stuff like that. Because when people come, they honestly should be bringing shit to you because, right, you know, you're still healing. You're still trying to get yourself back together. So I thoroughly enjoyed the time period when my mom and my sisters came to help when I gave birth to my second. And my mom, and also there was time for me. I don't know if folks are familiar, but the whole pressing and massaging of the body thing, like she would do every night. She'll come boil that hot water, press it up against my stomach, because like, you know, like the thing is with at least traditional I'll say Nigerian postpartum care, they're trying to get you to get that snap back. So yeah, it's just, they're going to do everything to get you back to at least almost normalcy. So, I mean, you know, she definitely did the whole, the massage in my stomach, put the hot water, and I can describe it so well because it felt so good. Of course it was scary, you know, the stomach part was a little tougher to deal with, but afterwards, she'll take the hot towel, press my back, press my bottom. She, you know, put some pressure on, you know, in my vaginal area. Then afterwards, like literally rub my whole entire body down, put all the butters on my belly, and then take something and just tie it down.
So
like it's like it's a whole. It was we did it every night after I take my shower. She's ready. She doesn't go to sleep until she takes care of me. She doesn't go to sleep. We get the baby's bottle set up. She'll give the baby a bath first. I'll take my bath, and then she'll come and take care of me after that. Like, that was what she did for the entire time period that she was there. And when I say I cried real tears on the day that she was leaving, like, I cried because I was just like, oh, my gosh, like, I'm not going to get to have this anymore because she's not going to be here to help me to do it. I mean, and I was able to sleep. If the baby would wake up, she would say, bring him down. She'd sleep with the baby. She would say, give me a bottle, give her a bottle, and she'd just go sleep. And that was really, really needed. And I think that is the true essence of, like, postpartum care, like, really having an opportunity to enjoy motherhood, enjoy the newness of your, I mean, even though it was a second baby, it was still a different, it was still a different experience. Everything was different about my second. Everything from the pregnancy to the birth to, you know, the postpartum part, everything was different. And so because, you know, I had been going through some personal financial issues and everything, I do feel like I might have suffered a little bit of postpartum depression. I wasn't diagnosed or anything like that, but I definitely say, you know, I definitely did have the blues because when I did go to my doctor at a certain point, she saw me and she looked at me. She's really, you know, very intuitive. Mm-hmm. Said, my darling, you know, she always calls all sorts of pet names. She said, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. And she was just like, she said, I don't know. I don't get that from you. She said, your spirit, it's off. And, you know, and I looked at her and I just broke down in tears. I wasn't in pain. I don't know why. I just broke down in tears. And she hugged me and she said, you know what? Do you want something? Do you want me to die? You know, like, do you want me to give you a prescription for anything? And I said, you know what? No, I'll try to work through it. And, you know, because of course, you know, she was really good to, you know, to feel that I wasn't 100% myself, my normal self that she was used to. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They go back into doctor mode, wanted to prescribe stuff for you.
Right.
And, you know, and I said, you know what? I'm fine. She said, but please, if you feel, you know, any type of way, please call me. You know, if there's anything that I can do for you, she's just like, but, you know, just try and to, you know, take care of yourself. And those words, take care of yourself, you know, you don't realize how loaded it is until you really have to try to apply yourself to take care of yourself, because you literally have to invest a lot of energy into taking care of everybody else. And then you put yourself last. And then when you get to yourself, you're too tired,
right?
You know, you're way too tired to now try to actually take care of yourself. But I think that in the United States, like, we need to be more cognizant of the postpartum needs of women on so many different levels. I mean, of course, I'm definitely not where I am now. I mean, I would pray a little bit. Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I would pray just a little bit and be like, God, why? Like, you know, that's what my prayers sounded like. So, I was out of whack for a while. Like, I think, I'm not gonna lie, like, he was maybe like 7 or 8 months until I started to maybe kind of feel like myself. But even then, it was hard, and it was mostly because of where I was at that time. I wasn't very happy with where I was in my life personally, and then added on, you know, and then add being a new mom on top of that, you know, and still having to take care of another kid, you know. So there's another child there that needs your love and your attention, and you still need to take care of yourself and this other new baby. So it can be a lot, and I don't think that the system in this country is conducive to us being able to really take the time and the energy to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Canada, people get like a whole year, like paid yep. off. Same in the UK. Like us, we're talking about, so you got to go back to work after 12 weeks. Like, that's crazy. I still have the tape on my C-section scar. Like, it's
right. You know,
I mean, I'm really hoping for a lot of reform when it comes to, you know, family leave and things of that nature, like in the U.S. And I think other countries are way ahead of the curve, even though they might have other disparities that they deal with. Mm-hmm. But as when it comes to postpartum care and family leave and things of that nature, we need to get on other people's pages because we're not. And then we're wondering if people are depressed and killing themselves. And like, you know, people are committing suicide. They are developing other health issues because of it. And it's just, and it's because we're not paying close enough attention to the glue of most families. And it's not that, even though traditionally men are supposed to be the head of households and they go home, bring home the bacon, but I mean, let's call a spade. Women are the ones that usually are the ones that are holding their families together.
Yeah.
That's their main responsibility. And there's no room for them to also take care of themselves after they go through the very natural ordeal of giving birth. It's, you know, it's grossly unfair.
I agree. No, I definitely agree. I actually went back to work at 7 weeks postpartum. I think it was 7 weeks. Yeah.
Wow.
And even at that, because where I worked at the time, it was going to be, it was 6 weeks paid and 6 weeks unpaid. And I could not afford the unpaid portion. So I was going to go back at 6 weeks, but my manager at the where I worked kind of messed up my return, which, you know, I think it seemed like it was a mistake, but in retrospect, when I got back to work, she had actually advertised my job out, that my role was open. And there was only one of that position in that environment. So I'm like, wait, did you guys fire me? Did I quit? Because I'm not understanding. Why is there right? They're saying that people are hiring, like, but I'm back, what's going on? You know what I mean? But yeah, I got back at 7 weeks. The day I got back to work, my grandfather died.
Oh.
And yeah, it was just a crazy, crazy time. I live with my parents. So my mom had to go back to Nigeria. And you see, the way you said, like, the evil people just have, my mom's evil. When my mom was around, like, everything was just working like clockwork. After she left, it was like, okay, now what? My, I guess now soon to be ex-mother-in-law, she came over, but just like your mom-in-law, a little bit older, so wasn't able to do as much as my mom would have. So it was, I think it was when my daughter turned 5 or 6 months and my mom came back that I could really get some kind of care. But at the point, I actually kind of fainted at work because I was so exhausted. I remember I had finished a task and I was going to the break room to go and have breakfast. And my boss was like, oh, hey, you're going on your break now? I'm like, yeah, I'll be right back. And the next thing, I was on the floor and I couldn't get up.
Wow.
They had to, like, two people had to come and physically carry me because I was just so exhausted. I wasn't sleeping enough. I was tired. My daughter had been sick the week before and I just didn't have that help that I needed. You know, so I definitely get all of that. Yeah, I had the same, you know, the doctors asking, like, is everything okay? Do we need to prescribe you some? No, I don't need the prescription right now.
Real quick to get you some drugs.
Yeah, I don't need the drugs right now. Right. Okay, but you seem sad. Yes, I am sad, but I didn't have postpartum depression. I was dealing with a whole other depression at the time. Yeah, I think that there's so much more that can be done.
Right.
In the arena of maternal health care and maternal mental health care and postpartum care. There's so much more that can be done in this country. And I agree. I hope that
very soon, please. But
we are praying.
I don't want no more kids, but man, I don't want anybody to have to go through this.
Yeah, it's not ideal. So I actually have an upcoming episode with a mom who suffered from postpartum depression. And I think that, yeah, more and more African women, while we're beginning to be more open about it, but there's still something a little bit taboo. Still a stigma, like, why are you crying? What is this? What are you crying for? Are you the first person to have a child? You know what I mean?
Right? Oh, we're so bad. Our mouths are so bad.
Sometimes. Yeah. But can you talk can you talk a little bit more about the link between postpartum care and postpartum depression, and like how can we as women ensure that we get the care that we need, you know, like emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, all the alleys?
We have to speak up. That's the main thing, because to be very honest, like that lack of care, that lack of attention, like we already don't get the love and the attention that we need, like coming from the top down, from federally, they don't pay attention to the fact that, hey, you literally carried a human being inside of you for close to a year. It has now come out of you. Your body has to reprogram and readjust itself to get back to some type of normalcy. And, you know, this could be a whole other conversation about the people who are actually making these laws. They don't look like us. Mm-mm. Look like us. You know what? We're all adults here. It's a bunch of people with penises that are making decisions for people with vaginas. And it's like, it's mind-boggling to me that we are not allowed to be at the table more to make these decisions that affect us.
Right.
I think that's the beginning of it. Just looking at the structure of just even how the government looks at how we should be taking care of ourselves, or the type of access and resources that we should have. I think everybody, once you give birth, you should be assigned like an aftercare social worker or something like that. That's going to literally their only responsibility is to, call you, visit you to make sure you're okay. Maybe help you out with a few things here and there. Just be there to help you get back to some type of normalcy, like, and give a little bit more time for us to readjust, because we're not opening our mouths to have those conversations. We're not saying, oh, we need this, we need that. So apart from that, also being vocal with your partners and being vocal with your family and being vocal with your friends.
Yeah.
I am so blessed that, you know, I had like two of my sorority sisters actually live in the area. So like they called, hey, you know what, we want to come over. What can I bring you? Like my girls bought me, when I say like, I'm bringing you lunch, they bought over lunch, came, they made, like fixed my plate, made sure I ate. After I ate, they're like, yo, I'm putting on a movie, go take a nap. Took the baby, I pumped, made sure the milk was ready. And it was just like, yo, just go to sleep, go rest. And it's just like, because they understand. And you know, and then family, when family is there, you know, you tell them what you need. Tell your partners what you need. I've definitely gone through the time period of, you know, not getting, and of course, while this was with my first, we were both working at the time, and it was just like, it was the weekend and the baby was crying. And I elbowed the mess out of this man. I was just like, yo, wake up, go and get that baby. It's the weekend. Get up and go get him. Oh, well, I'm tired. I am tired, sir.
Yeah. What?
Like, thing is, wait, I birthed this child. I get up in the middle of the night, every night, to breastfeed, to feed, to do all. Get up. Go get him. Oh, well, but I didn't, you know. Like, so we literally were having a fallout about the fact that, why is there even an argument? Go and get your child.
It's your child, too.
You know? So we also have to be communicative with our partners, because, ladies, we have this habit of, oh, because you're the mother, you must do everything. No, you do not. There's nights where I would pack the child well. I would take the chair and take them down and be like, yo, I'm out. I'm going to bed. I don't know what you're going to do with him. I'm out. Oh, is he going to eat? Does it need to change? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm out. I need to go to sleep. I mean, so sometimes I would literally have to just be hardcore like that. Although that is not, I am not recommending that that's what you do all the time, but you need to also communicate with your partner so that they understand what your needs are too. Because we have the habit of, because we're told you're the mother, you have to do it. You're the one that has to feed. I mean, and God, you know, and when you have to, you know, breastfeed, you're nursing, you're also pumping. So that's also something, you know, that's a whole other conversation to have, where you also have to take really good care of yourself because you are nourishing another human being. And if you are, it's because I exclusively breastfed my second. I got lucky that he latched and everything. I didn't buy 1 ounce of formula for my second kid. I pumped and I nursed. And because I was home for most of it, it was very easy, but I don't think it would have been as easy if I was working at the same time. And so, but I had nights where I would literally just, I would hear him crying. And the minute he would start crying, I would start crying. And I would like not, like I would almost be crying as loud as the baby was crying because I just was so overwhelmed emotionally. I wasn't sleeping. I didn't feel, and you know what? And there's this guilt of when you are not able to do everything like you are expected to, you now have this whole, you know, I guess it's mom guilt, but it's on a totally different level because it's almost like you failed. You failed as a mom because you're supposed to have the energy to get up and just do everything all the time. No, no, you are a human being. You are a human being and you need sleep, you need rest, you need love, you need care. And I just think we need to be much better at communicating that with the people who are closest to you so that they know and realize what they need to do to help you. Because if you don't, and that's our problem, you know, there's a stigma behind, you know, complaining or saying anything or asking for help or anything like that. Whereas you need to, and we need to be much, much better with that. And, you know, just, you know, finding that quiet time to just, if you don't pray, I mean, if you don't believe in God, that's, you know, that's up to you. But I always say, have some type of higher power that you can check into when you need to check out of everything that's going on around you. And just do that. Like, find somewhere quiet in your heart. Find somewhere quiet in your mind when you need to. Because if you don't, I mean, like I said, I'm a Christian, but I cuss. But you will lose your shit, like, if you don't. And that's the real, like, just really stepping out of yourself to speak up for yourself. Because if you don't speak up for yourself, no one else will.
Yeah. And it's just on the normal day, if you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not getting the rest that you need, if you're not getting the care that you need, if you're not, taking time to just emotionally and spiritually and mentally get in tune with yourself on a normal day, you can start to feel out of whack. You can start to get depressed. Then you're now talking about doing all of those things with a child, with a newborn.
Okay.
So of course, there's going to be, it's going to be a lot easier to slip into, you know, postpartum depression if you're not being taken care of, if you're not, you know, insisting that, listen, I need time, I need space even. Mm-hmm. Definitely talking to your partner is a big, oh God. I just
can't say, you know, it. Can't say it enough.
I thank God for the men who are actively parenting their children, who are, you know, taking the load off of their wives or partners. I thank God for those men because I feel like they're very few and far between. This whole thing of I'm tired. What do you mean by you're tired? Excuse me, please.
Which tired are you tired?
Excuse me,
please explain to me what tired is. Tell me what it is that you have done that is making you to be tired, that will make you to be more tired than me.
And me, okay.
When you have figured out how you are more tired than me, that has been with this child for 24 hours, okay, then we can sit down and have a discussion.
Okay.
Please, Joe.
Tired. God, tired me.
Right. Well, thank you for that, though. You've mentioned that you started the Omugwo box.
Yes.
And I'd like for you to explain what it is.
Yes.
Why you started it. Like, what's the why behind it? What can new moms expect in the box? And how can, you know, the audience, if you want to buy for someone that you know just had a baby, or if you yourself have just had a baby, how would they purchase the box, and where is it available right now?
Yes. So, like I said, there's nothing that I don't do that my heart isn't in. So the Omugwo box is a play on, you know, the whole postpartum care and Igbo culture that's called Omugwo. So the whole idea is that it's pretty much self-care in a box. Just like, so it literally takes a play on everything that I've learned up to this point as a public health professional, understanding that postpartum depression and maternal mortality rates are 60% higher in African-American women or people of African descent, you know, higher than their Caucasian counterparts. And that's mind-boggling that that's taking place. And, you know, so that was one of the things that I thought about. But then also, I thought about my own experience as a new mom and the types of things that I wish I had. And what happened was, it was when my second was about, I don't know, like 6 or 7 months. And I said, you know what? Like, I was looking around for stuff. There was one day, it was just absolutely quiet. It was just eerily quiet. And I said, I wish I had, you know what? I want something I could, you know, some candles or something that I could just like, just use to make myself feel good as a mom. I'm looking around, there's all sorts of baby toys and everything for the baby. And there was nothing for me, you know, something that I could, you know, look at or play with or use to make myself feel good. And I said, so I went online. Like, I was just like, man, be nice if like there was some type of like, you know, like Nigerian gift packet or African gift something for, you know, for new moms. And I went looking. I'm seeing all the same typical stuff, all the, you know, all the new mom care packages, all this, you know, frou-frou, really nice stuff. And I was just like, wait a minute. So there's nothing like for us or for people that look like me or for people that feel like me or for people that, you know, are from where I'm from or even of descent. I'm like, wait, how is that possible? And believe me when I say, I really was looking for it. Like, I looked for it for days because I thought that it's impossible that this doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. I was actually shocked that me coming up with the idea was original or new. Like, every time I said it to somebody, they were like, yo, that's so dope. That's an interesting and unique concept. And I'm like, but why? Like, why is it so unique for us to have something that caters to us? And that just really goes to show how society functions. We're not that important on people's radar. Mm-hmm. And so I sat on the idea for a year. I'm not going to lie, because I just felt like, you know what? I don't have the funds. I don't have the means. I'm not in the correct mindset, but you know what? One day I'll do it. And this year in April, like, there was a conviction on my heart. I literally sat up and professed on that day that I was going to do it. And I told my husband, I said, listen, I had this idea. And I told him, he was like, oh, okay. And I'm sure in his mind, he was thinking, oh, well, you know, she always has a lot of ideas and things that she wants to do. And I said it. And on that day, I kid you not, it was like April 27th, 28th, something like that. I made the logo. I already saw it in my head. I knew all the content I wanted to put in it. I knew, I bought the domain name. Like, I did all of that on a Sunday afternoon. I did all of that. And then when I showed him, I was just like, oh, this is the logo. This is this. He was like, oh, so you're doing it. Doing it. I was just like, watch me. Sit there. Before you know it, every day there were packages coming in, you know, me contacting vendors. You know, I made sure that the 99% of the materials in it are organic. I patronize small businesses, mostly Black-owned businesses, to create the box. So in it, so y'all are the only ones that are going to hear verbally all of what is in it, because typically I've been having people come, you know, if you follow, I'll give you the Instagram handle, but I've been kind of just giving teasers a little bit of what's in it. And in order for you to find out what's there, you kind of would have to go to the website. But I literally thought to myself, what would I have liked inside? Like if somebody was to put Omugwo self-care, postpartum care in a box, like what would it look like? So I put rub. If you ask any Nigerian, any African, if you don't have rub in your house, I don't know what to do you.
Where are you from?
like if you don't have it, you have to have that. If you have, I have rub, I have black soap, not just any black soap, dudu osun. I have that in there. I have a shea butter lotion. I have a shea butter lip balm. I have some nipple cream and an organic nipple cream. I have lactation tea. I have a lavender candle, and this candle is, oh my gosh, it's made by this one wonderful company, The Ugly Pretty Girl. It smells so wonderful. It's a lavender candle. I have a mommy motivation button. It says Super Mom of the Year. It doesn't matter. Listen, if you're wearing pajamas, if you're wearing whatever, if that day you just need to feel good about yourself, because I know there's some days where it's just, you just want to feel good about yourself. Mm-hmm. You want to tell yourself, because not everybody's going to tell you that you are awesome. So I just wanted to make sure I have a novelty item to just motivate, motivate new moms. I also have Concon, the straw exfoliating sponge, the one that your grandmother has that scrubs your body. That's also in there. I have a face and hair refresher. So for those days when, because you and I both know, we're not the first to go running to get your hair did, home with baby. So it's just, something to, moisturize, make your hair smell good, make you, just refreshing your face and your hair. It's a small 2 ounce bottle. It's a spray. I have a variation of two, one made by Sultanicals and another made by Naturally Locked. One is a rose water one and one is a hibiscus based one, all organic. And I also have an Ankara head wrap. And so this wrap can play, two roles. You could put it on your head, or if you want to use it to tie that middle section a little bit, or if you, if you put your baby on your back and need that extra cloth to hold the baby up, it can be, multifaceted, but anybody knows that in an African household, having some type of Ankara cloth or something like that, just to keep around, to mostly keep that head wrapped. If you still want to look chic, and you got company coming, or you need to step out real quick, and your hair is not done. Because listen, I thought about it. When I say I thought about, because I literally looked around, and I was just like, I really wish I just had something to just throw on my head real quick, and if I needed to step out. So I thought of myself, and I thought of other moms, and I literally put a lot of love into everything. Like there was nothing that, and I didn't spare any, expense at creating this, at creating this box, because I really do feel that it's self-care in a box. And so very, very proud of it. And it can be purchased at www.theomugwobox.com. And that's spelled omugwobox.com. And so there you can, I designed, it's very simple. It literally tells you what's in it. It gives you a little bit of history behind Omugwo itself, as far as the Nigerian culture, and you learn about what Omugwo is and the importance of it in the Nigerian culture. And now I'm literally giving it to you in a box. So to be very, very honest, I know that many Africans, many Nigerians, many people of African descent, you probably know where to get these items. You probably have some of these items already, which, you know, are totally understandable. But to be very honest, we all know that if you get up to go and buy either any of the pieces of what's in the box, like the box is literally worth over $100 by itself. Oh, I also have a gift certificate for one of my online courses to be able to get it for free. So that's also in there.
Okay.
The box itself is honestly, and I mean, it's not like, oh, like I'm trying to like, I'm not a saleswoman. Like I hate, oh my gosh, like this is the hardest part of, you know, creating something that you want to sell. I'm not a super money hungry, like, oh my gosh, I want to sell it. Yes, I do want to sell it, but I'm very transparent about what it is. The box itself is worth over $100. Like, I won't lie. Like, if you're going to buy any of the pieces individually, if you got up to go to an African market right now and bought the soap, the lotion, the rub, the sponge, the Ankara head tie, like any of the pieces, like if you would, like my online course by itself is like $40, is $40 by itself. So if you just kind of, if you do the math, the box is way worth more than I'm charging for it. And I know how we get like, rub that I can get from, yeah, but if you have to get it here, we live in the US, if you have to go buy one little thing of it, it's about $5, just for the right. I was very mindful, like I wasn't trying to like rip anybody off or anything like that. So I think it is a wonderful gift. I have had some sales. I had a pre-order like immediately. And I recently got like a wonderful review from, you know, two of the folks who have received their boxes. So it's a wonderful box. I think it's a great experience. Like you've seen the picture of the box.
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
On my social media. So, everything was thought out. Like literally the strip of, you know, it is Ankara cloth on the outside of the box. Like it matches the cloth that's inside the box. Like I thought of, you know, making it beautiful for you, making the experience of receiving your box, making it a healthy, beautiful experience from the time you get the box, you see the front of it, you open it. There's a personal card for you in there. There's also, you know, a message about Omugwo so that you, again, I want for you to learn, grow, and really experience, you know, self-care and self-love in this box. And it's really something that I hope, I am confident that it is going to take off with everything slow and steady. Mm-hmm. I'm not over here like trying to make a quick buck or anything like that. Like I did put my heart into this and it's something that I know that will be very, very beneficial. Like this is not a one-off thing. Like I'm really doing this because I love being a mom. And I love the experience of being pampered as a new mom, like that aspect of being a new mom, like, and you know, being able to enjoy being a new mom. Like it comes with enough hardship. You know, the last thing you need is to just not be able to have anything just for you. And this box is just for you. Ain't nothing, I mean, we love the babies, but ain't nothing in this box for the baby. It is,
yeah.
You know, it is all for mom. Even the lactation tea, the contents of it, they cater to, you know, lactation, but it's also a relaxing tea for you. So if you decide that you're not breastfeeding or don't want to breastfeed, it still has it still has different content that's supposed to help you relax. It's a relaxation and lactation tea. So, you know, it's still all about mom. And that's kind of, if there's anything that I do right in my life or in the world, or like my giving outside of my nonprofit organization, like this, like creating this box was definitely one of my proudest and happiest moments, that I know that this is something that's going to be wonderful and helpful for other moms. And it'll make you feel good. Trust me. I'm looking at it and I'm literally like secretly like trying to keep a box for myself. You know, my husband's just like, well, and I was just like, well, he was like, well, you can keep one. And I was just like, well, you know,
buy one for you.
You know, let me not give anybody any ideas.
You should buy one for you.
You know what? I should. And then, you know, maybe I'll dash a nipple cream or something to somebody else.
Somebody that one, yeah.
Yeah, you know, because that one.
I think it's a fabulous idea. And to the Mommy Oyoyo audience, I hope you guys definitely check out www.theamugwobox.com. And if you know any new moms that are, you know, here in the U.S., it's available in the U.S.
Yes. For now. Hopefully, by God's grace, if y'all help a sister out a little bit, it's going to be international. Okay. For now, U.S.
Just U.S., okay. So if you know of any new mom that is in the U.S., that you think would, you know, like this gift, then go ahead and place an order. And actually, I think I'm going to sponsor a giveaway of the box. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just while you were talking, I'm just like, you know, why don't I do something for someone? So after you guys listen to this episode, definitely check out the Mommy Oyoyo Instagram page, because I want to host a giveaway of this box. If you are a new mom, if you know a new mom that you think should have this box, then go on to my Instagram handle, Mommy Oyoyo, and let's get one of these boxes out there.
Yeah.
And speaking of new moms here in the U.S., there are a lot of moms now who have just had babies, and unfortunately, Goro has just messed up all the plans of moms coming over, mothers-in-law coming over. So there are a lot of new moms here who are just like kind of by themselves. And just wanted to ask you, like, do you have any tips or advice they can give to those women who are, you know, they're kind of stuck here? Or maybe they even live here, but they just, their moms weren't able to come to help them with their babies. Like, do you have any tips for them to just kind of hack it on their own, or like, do you know of any resources that they can use to just kind of get some help, if any?
I mean, to be very, very honest, definitely you can always check into like the area of wherever it is that you live, like definitely access like their like Department of Health sites and like their maternal health sites, because a lot of times they can have like different mom groups, lactation therapists, and you know, folks that can help. Because I know at least when I went home with both of my kids, I literally went home with packets of, you know, different types of groups and things that I could, you know, go to if, you know, you could. But like now, things of course would be virtual because, you know, all be in the same space. But if you feel like you need a support system, definitely check out your local, you know, your local Department of Health sites, and, you know, just check under like maternal health and stuff like that. They usually do have resources. That the problem is they don't put it out in the forefront all the time. You would have to dig for it, but if you got to dig. Definitely look for that perfect little time. I know people always say, oh, when the baby sleeps, you should sleep. And I always felt like, ugh, like that's like such a load of crap, because when the baby sleeps, when does laundry get done? Like when does anything get done if I'm sleeping with this baby? But definitely kind of schedule some time where, like, if baby's going to be asleep if baby naps for about an hour or two, get your hour nap and then, you know, have it. Because I think it's unrealistic, very, very, very unrealistic. And I mean, I don't care anybody. Listen, take me, you know, sue me if you want. But I've got two, and I never slept when they were sleeping. I mean, maybe I slept a little bit, but I always at some point got up to handle things that I needed to do. But if you are going to do that, which I do encourage, get rest at the same time as baby, but kind of set an alarm, get up. And, you know, unfortunately, I hate to say this because not everybody is like this, but I'm a planner. Like, I plan all the time. And with babies, they can be very, 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 very unpredictable. Mm-hmm. They don't always nap at the same time. They don't always do the same things at the same time. But you're always going to be tired anyway. So whenever they're ready to nap, you go down right along with them, but set your alarm to get up before they do, so that way you do have time to be able to do stuff. And then also recognize your triggers for when you probably are like on the edge. When you know what that is, when it is, have a special place or have a special thing that you do. Nobody has to know what it is. If you want to share what it is, go ahead. But if not, that's fine. Have something special that you do just for yourself to kind of get you back on a normal, you know, like on a normal pace or feeling normal. Mm-hmm. And if you need to do this daily, do it daily. If you need to do it weekly, do it weekly. If you need to do it monthly, do it monthly. But do something specifically for you. Have something that you do, have somewhere that you can be, whether if it's, you know, if you have a closet, if you have somewhere, like if you need to close the door to the bathroom and just let the water run and let steam, just whatever it is, you have to find it for yourself. Because nobody can find it for you. So, you know, that's another thing. And I mean, I hate this. This is a shameless plug. Get yourself an Omugwo box.
Hey.
You know, like the hashtag for it on the Instagram page, which is the Omugwo box, is hashtag get you a box. I mean, it literally, I mean, I was so happy to, you know, to be able to have, because I love candles. So I literally had a friend of mine actually, you know, when I gave birth, like she got me like a lavender lotion and, you know, like a candle. And sometimes I would just sit in the bedroom. I'd have the baby monitor. I'm watching the baby and I would just light my candle and just let the calm essences just, you know, take over and just sit and just chill. Like I wasn't doing anything. I wasn't on my phone. You know, I didn't get on the phone. I didn't turn on the TV. I don't even have the light. I just had the candle going and just had some calming aromatherapy going on. So just literally finding that one thing, you know, that's just for you. Don't share it with anybody. Don't let nobody into it. I mean, even, you know, sometimes it's hard to do that when you have more than one child. Mm. But you need that space for you. Don't share it with anybody. Be selfish. It's okay to be selfish sometimes with yourself and for yourself.
I 100% agree with the selfish part. Because you need to take care of you so you can take
care
of your kids. Yes. Exactly. If you break down, then what happens to your children? Think about it.
Yeah.
I'd also add, though, to the women who are, you know, needing, I guess, some care for themselves, get online. There are lots of different mommy pages that you can join.
That's how we met.
Exactly. How we met. So Facebook, Instagram, there's this other thing, Telegram. I don't know how that works, but
which one is that one?
They say it's kind of like WhatsApp, but like people can join anonymously. So if you don't want to, you know, have your name and your face or your phone number out there, then
well, leave that one. It's too much. It's too much.
I can't wrap my head around it, but a lot of Nigerians use it though. But really? Just definitely go online and look up different mom communities, and you'll find at least one or two people who are in a similar situation to you, and
more than one or two.
Yeah. Yeah. But thank you so much, Dr. Tammy.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You need to tell us where to find you online.
Yes. Okay, so my Instagram and Twitter handle are Tammy PH Diva. That's TemiPhDiva. And that's my personal page. And so there, honestly, I have a link tree. You can actually like find all the different stuff, but for the Omugwo box specifically, that's the Omugwo box, and that's on Facebook and Instagram. And the website, again, I also have a personal website. It is www.iamdrtami.com. Very simple. And the Omugwo box.com. I don't try to get too fancy with anything. Let's keep it simple. Everything that I've said, I literally, if you Google Dr. Tammy and you just go, oh, I am Dr. Tammy, you'll find me. And but mostly I'm very active on both Facebook and Instagram for all of my endeavors. So whichever, you can literally plug into me any of those ways.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
This was a good time. The before the episode. Listen, like we were out here Kiki and we almost forgot that we were going to be recording. We almost forgot we were going to record a podcast.
It was like 40 minutes at that. So I was like, wait, we haven't even started.
We haven't recorded.
It's been such a pleasure talking to you. And I will definitely continue chatting offline, and I'm looking forward to the giveaway as well. I hope you guys have enjoyed this conversation with Dr. Tammy. And with that, I will bid you good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you for being on this episode. Oh yeah, guys, we're recording now. It's 11:05 p.m. So. Just to let you know.
See, because this is when our children will let us live.
The things I do for my mommy or your audience.
You know,
I've woken up before at 1:30 a.m. to record an episode.
No way. You should take care of my sister.
I forgot. Y'all need to also listen to her podcast as well. So look up.
Oh, you know what?
I forgot to mention it. The
University of Real Life with Dr. Tammy.
Yeah.
It also has a Facebook page, the University of Real Life with Dr. Tammy, and you can find a lot more information on it on my personal Instagram page as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, Dr. Tammy.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of them. Have a good night.
You too.
Thank you. Everyone, thank you for listening to this episode as well, and definitely check out all of her her pages, her websites as well. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Out of everything you could be doing, you chose to spend the time with me, and I am truly grateful. Please follow us on social media at Mommy Oyoyo, which is MommyOyoyo. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Feel free to send us feedback and suggestions that way or via our email at mommyoyoyo@gmail.com. Also, subscribe to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast on your favorite podcast players. Rate and review the podcast. And finally, don't keep this goodness to yourself. Share the Mommy Oyoyo podcast with your friends, your family, your coworkers, and more. The Mommy Oyoyo podcast, sharing experiences of African motherhood. Mommy, oh yo yo, mommy, oh yo yo, mommy, oh yo yo. See you next time.